Hi everyone, welcome back to our 20th episode of But Why Though, a philosophy-themed comedy podcast with comedian Josh Carter
and philosopher Nancy Lopez.
And today we talk about the philosophy of dreams. And who did we have, Josh?
We had one of my good friends and one of my favorite comics on the scene right now, Christina Hutchinson. You've seen her on Comedy Central on This Is Not Happening. She has a great podcast that we all know, the GWF podcast. And yeah, we get into it. We have like one of these like very like out there type conversations about dreams and like the universe and like the multiverse and what dreams might be and sleepwalking. And we talk about sleep paralysis, all that stuff. And it's a lot of fun. So yeah, check it out, everyone. This is the But Why Though podcast. Feel free to tweet at us at But Why Though Pod. Hashtag But Why Though Pod. Peace.
Thanks. So today we're going to be talking about the philosophy of dreams, and we're going to be focusing on Rene Descartes and his writings in Meditations on First Philosophy. So we're going to look at some of his theories and see how we feel about them, see if you guys have had any experiences that you'd like to share as well, and it should be fun. So I'll start off with Descartes wanted to find out what we can believe with certainty and thereby claim as knowledge. He uses dreams to motivate skepticism about sensory-based beliefs about the external world and his own bodily existence. So he was trying to see what he could say is actually real outside of his body. He was also questioning if his body was even real, if his life was even real. So he was doing this through a lot of different...
Wait, in his dreams he's doing this?
No, in real life. So So that's how he started talking about dreams. And then he says, even the realistic experience of sitting dressed by the fire and looking at a piece of paper in one's hands is something that can, and according to Descartes, often occur in dreams. Due to the sensory deception of dreams, Descartes believes that we cannot trust our senses in waking life. So what he's trying to say is that he imagines himself sitting in front of the fire. He can feel the fire. He can feel this little piece of paper that he has in his hand. And he says, it feels so real. And it also feels real when I do it in real life. And sometimes he thought it was real, but he was actually dreaming. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to say, how can we really tell the difference? So what I wanted to ask you guys is, how can we know we are not dreaming now? Is there any way to distinguish dream from reality? What do you guys think?
Ooh, God, I'm too slow for that question. No, I think life is a dream. I've had lucid dreams before, which are really cool because then you could kind of control them. But I heard a long time ago that if you want to get out of a dream, or if you're not sure if you're in a dream, like jump up and down and land on your ass and then see if it hurts. And if it hurts, then you're not in a dream. And that's a lot of times how I've woken myself up out of lucid dreams. But I think this is all.
Like you jump like from a high.
Good. Like thing jump and then land on my butt.
Oh, I see. Like just like on your bed.
Yeah. Yeah. Or no, on the floor. Cause that would hurt. So that's how you know you're dreaming. If it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. You need to challenge yourself to like physical pain, with physical pain, you know, yeah. Like see if you're
wrong. Right.
But the only thing is, if you're wrong, then that really sucks.
Well, I've never thought I was dreaming and then I wasn't.
Really?
Yeah, I always, if anything, if I'm in a dream and I think it's real, I think it's reality. But I've always mistaken dreams for reality before, but I've never mistaken reality for a dream.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. Have you?
Have you?
Actually, you're right.
I've never been hanging out and saying, am I in a dream right now?
The only time I've ever almost crossed reality in a dream is when I was doing mushrooms high off my ass.
Oh, yeah.
That'll happen.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, or maybe unless you're having like a hallucination when you're awake or an illusion, then I guess you can call that a dream that you're having while you're awake.
But
in some way.
We were actually going to talk about this in another subject, but here's my answer to that. The one thing, have you ever had like sleep paralysis?
Where you can't get up?
It's like you're dreaming, but you're awake. It's like some kind of like in between area where you're awake and sleeping. You feel like you can't move anything. And you usually like see like a shadowy figure in your room. And it's like scary.
Hell no. Oh my God. I'd never go to sleep if that happened to me.
Oh shit. Oh, we're going to talk about this too, like later. But like, I've had that happen to me where like, I don't know if I'm like asleep or dreaming. And I've like, even like looking back at times that's happened, even like today, like I wonder like if it's real or, because like there is a scientific explanation for that happening to you, but like it's called sleep paralysis, and they say it's all like mentally induced and has something to do with like your oxygen intakes and stuff,
or that your mind is awake but your body is still asleep is what I've heard.
Yeah, they say certain things like that, but I wonder if that's true or if that's just the cover up and it really is like ghosts and shit, like it's like a way into like the demonic realm.
Maybe you've reached that bonus round realm that not like, because when you're a kid, I know there's so many stories of kids recalling past lives and seeing ghosts, and then you grow up and you get all that fun stuff hammered out of you by adults who ruin it. And so I feel like maybe there's like you're just in this other dimension that does exist.
I think when you sleep, like somehow you get into like your energy is traveling interdimensionally or something.
That'd be cool. That'd be fun. But,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if there are spirits trying to get into your body while you're sleeping.
Well, I don't know about that. Like that sounds even scarier to me.
Well, that's what some people think sleep paralysis is.
That, oh, like that they're trying to get into?
That there's an evil spirit trying to take over your body and you're trying to fight it unconsciously while you're sleeping.
Whoa. So
that's what I've heard.
I've never heard that.
Obviously, that didn't happen to you. Yeah. I mean, I don't think so.
Hopefully not. Get call me an exorcist. Do you want to hear something weird, though?
Always.
Here's my weird take on, like, I mean, it sounds crazy as fuck to say that it might be something that's real, like that's really like a ghost there. But here's something fucked up about this whole thing. This shit has only happened to me in like religious places. Like if I'm at like my mom's house with like a lot of Christian relics and like all her Bibles. She has like a bunch of crosses. Like she's like born again Christian. So she has like a lot of crosses around the house and like Bibles, and all her books are about religion. All her music's about religion.
Whoa, she got hard into that.
Yeah, she's like hardcore. So I've only really had this as an adult at her place. And then at this place I used to live in Park Slope, where my roommate was like this African dude who did have a lot of spiritual stuff around the house, like statues and stuff. Mm. And I had like, but I had crazy intense shit happen there. I could even tell, Yeah, I felt like this is going to sound ridiculous and crazy.
Oh no, I totally believe in ghosts. Go ahead.
No, I was once dragged from my bed to like the corner of my room and woke up there.
What?
Whoa.
Like in that bedroom. Yeah, like it felt like a force dragging me. I didn't know if that was a dream or if it was reality, but then I
woke up not in your bed.
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
What if you were like sleepwalking or something?
I don't think I was sleepwalking, but like why? I just felt like I was like dragging, like as if someone was pulling me with my legs.
Wow.
That's scary. I've never had that happen.
Yeah, me. I have woke up like when I was a kid, I would wake up all of a sudden I'm sitting upright in my living room. I'm like, huh, okay, well, I'm gonna go back to bed.
Yeah.
A couple times.
Yeah.
I actually had another supernatural thing that was kind of cool happen to me there. I like lost a whole bunch of money because I had sold my Cadillac. at the time, and like I had it in cash in my room, and like I counted it a bunch of times, and like I was like short like something like $500. So, but after my room
counted it a couple times in your room.
Yeah, after I've counted like a bunch of times and laid it out, I've laid it out in like bunches and different types of bunches a bunch of times, and there's $500 missing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to blame my roommate because we had always gotten along and we had nothing to really like.
Oh, yeah.
Really, I didn't want to start a thing with him because we had like a perfect relationship and there was nothing not to trust. But it was weird that I was like,
I had $500 missing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But check this out. This is crazy. So my mom, who's super religious and like a born again Christian, I called her up and was talking to her about it because I didn't, it was like such a, it was like a moral decision. I was in my early 20s and like, I didn't know what to do and stuff. So she says, this is what she said. She thought that there was like a demon hiding cash for me. She says that there are demons of deception that want people to fight with each other and will do things like hide money. So I mean, I'm not like super religious and into that stuff. So I'm like, okay, whatever. It's like sometimes when my mom gives me that kind of advice, I usually just let it go over my head.
Right.
He was like, but don't get off the phone with me. I have to pray with you. Let's pray. I'll pray these demons away with you. And then, and like, she literally did it on the phone, prayed with me. And like, out of nowhere, like Jesus's story with the fish and like the bread, like one of the $100 bills, like all of a sudden like slipped and it was like five in one. Like it was like all stuck together. But I felt like I would have noticed that. It was like the thinness of one.
Yeah, I'm sure once almost, you notice one was missing, you'd recount again to make sure and make sure those not sticking. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like counting them and like bunching up them in different bunches and stuff like that. It was like insane. So after that, I believe somewhat in the spiritual realm and religion after that experience. And that happened when I was wide awake. And I thought it, like my friends who weren't there say that like I just didn't count it right. And then after she prayed, it made me count in a different way.
Maybe you were stressed out and then you calmed down after a while.
I mean,
you don't think it was just a coincidence?
Well, the first time I counted, I wasn't stressed.
I don't know.
Yeah, because you just got all that money. Yeah.
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 That is crazy.
I'm starting this episode off on a crazy tone.
Let me know. All the stories. Yeah, but I've definitely like slept walked, but I don't think I've imagined things that are not there or daydreamed in a way that I thought I was dreaming. But I've definitely woken up, like you said, downstairs eating a banana and drinking milk, which I never do. I was like, wait, what?
That was Christ saying you need more calcium.
Yeah, so that's weird. I'm like, why does everyone sleepwalk, or is it just some people?
I feel like that's a whole other topic. I feel like we've just jumped into stories. I didn't even answer the question. So, how do we know if we're not dreaming now? Or Christina answered it. I didn't. Yeah. Is there a way to distinguish? Who knows? Like, I wonder sometimes if our dreams are us living our other lives simultaneously.
Yeah. Like a weird, but the weirdest stuff happens in my dreams that wouldn't happen on a reality plane. Or maybe the other lives are weirder.
Yeah, well, I think that it's like all different planes of reality have different sets of rules and physics and stuff.
Yeah, so like, well, because you know how people like will dream things and then it'll happen the next day or in a couple of days. That's pretty, you know, not pretty common, but it happens enough. I wonder if maybe they're getting a message from the future.
Yeah. I wonder if have you seen that movie with Will Ferrell, Stranger Than Fiction?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Do you think that I wonder if that happens? Like, if everything that we create, like art-wise, is in another, because there's infinite realities and possibilities. So, if I wonder if all of our creations are realities in another timeline and universe.
Oh, damn!
There's just like infinite amounts because each person and each one is going to create like infinite more.
So many different options. Yeah, that could be true. Who knows, man? Shit's deep.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, then I'll move on to our next question. So according to the Internet Encyclopedia of Philosophy and the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy, the dream argument was something that sort of set off a lot of other philosophy theories after Descartes. And it has similarities to his later evil demon argument. According to this later argument, he could not be sure anything he believes, for he may just be being deceived by a malevolent demon. And one modernized version is the brain in a vat thought experiment. Says that if evil scientists place your brain in a vat and stimulated it just right, your conscious experience would be exactly the same as if you were still an ordinary embodied human being. And like in the Matrix trilogy in the movie, the Matrix tricksters live unbeknownst to themselves in a computer simulation. So he's trying to say that there could be like this big evil power that could control us and everything that we do, and our brains could just be hooked up to some kind of machine, and we could just be imagining that this is all happening to us, but really we're just stuck somewhere.
That sounds like a shitty guy who wants to give himself excuses. But...
yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like a lot of work to me.
Yeah. Someone took my brain and put it on a card. I didn't do it. There's no reason for their terrible behavior.
There was like a Johnny Depp movie about this, I feel like.
Oh, really?
Where he uploads himself.
I wanted to ask you guys, do you think there's the possibility of an evil genius controlling our minds? Is it possible that we're simply hooked up to computers and are being controlled by someone else? How can we know that we're not?
I mean, I kind of like, I believe in aliens only because all the documentaries I've been watching over quarantine, just like they really, you know, present you with some valid evidence. And I was wondering over quarantine, the many things I, random weird things I thought was like, what if aliens are controlling us? That's hilarious. I think it'd be so funny. Cause a lot of the alien encounters that I watch on these docs, they're like, they injected something into me. They inserted a microchip into me. Like and that was said across all of these docs that like that kept coming up. So I'm like, yo, maybe the aliens are running this shit and we're all puppets.
Yeah. Or like, what if we're their livestock?
Oh yeah. I mean, hey, that sounds entertaining. If I was an alien, that's probably something I would do, I guess.
What if aliens somehow needed our DNA for them to reproduce because they were somehow like some kind of weird asexual being and like they created us or something like that? I don't know. I'm being like a little bit loony.
Yeah. Right. I don't know.
Who knows? Like,
they're so smart though. I mean, allegedly they're very smart because the speed, the directions, all the UFO sightings that have ever been documented by like the Air Force that came out 2020, they move in speeds that no aircraft, no human made aircraft has ever been able to move. And it's like they go in warp speed. So yeah, they know something.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. Like there was this thing on Netflix about presidential encounters with aliens that were recorded.
Yeah, I think that's one of the ones I watched, yeah.
Oh yeah, so I think it was like someone like it was like Ronald Reagan on the airplane and he saw it like zigzagging.
Yeah, it's all zigzags, which is not a way an aircraft usually flies. So that means it was it was powered by something that we'll never know. Unless one day we do.
Yeah, what if one day they come down, they teach us everything as an experiment to see what we do with their technology?
Well, then we're all fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. I wonder if them coming will just end racism, because then all the racists would only hate aliens.
Right. Yeah, that's something we can all unite around hating. Well, I wonder, you know, no other species has racism. I wonder, like aliens, I wouldn't think have racism. I don't know. I know nothing about aliens, but I know that the human species is the only one that's as flawed as we are and get in our own way. So... who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that would fix it. They would.
Yeah, well, if they were attacking, it would definitely fix it real quick. If
right, we all join the same side. Yeah.
It's like yeah.
Us finally working together. Republicans, Democrat, Black, White, Asian, all of them.
Yeah.
Watch, that's what's next in 2021.
Yeah, well, we're going to need it soon. The intervention is coming, you know. Yeah. We had they
anything
need us
is
to...
possible at this point. So I wanted to discuss a court case that is actually related to sleepwalking, what we were talking about. And since the late 20th century, discussion of the moral and criminal responsibility of dreaming has been centered on sleepwalking, where sleepwalkers have harmed others. The assessment has typically been carried out in practical rather than theoretical settings, for example, in law courts. So there was a case, Massachusetts versus Tyrell in 1846. And Albert Tyrell was acquitted in the murder of a prostitute in Boston. Tyrell slit the woman's throat, almost decapitating her. He also set fire to the brothel, then fled to New Orleans, where he was arrested. His lawyer stated that Tyrell was a chronic sleepwalker and perhaps committed the crime while asleep. The jury agreed and found him not guilty.
Oh, God.
Although many contemporaries didn't buy the defendant's version of events, the Tyrell case is thought to be the first U.S. legal case which the sleepwalking defense was mounted with success. And after this, there have been a few other cases as well where...
I don't think that guy was sleepwalking.
He was absolutely not sleepwalking. First of all, he knew enough to flee, so he's guilty.
Yeah. That's just an 1846 defense of just letting someone just...
Yeah, the 1846 fuckboy murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what people were saying. They were saying, well, he probably just didn't want to get caught by his wife, cheating on her with a prostitute. But I don't know how would the judge be convinced by this? Do you think...
Yeah, how can you prove that you were dreaming? There's no way. Unless you had a history of sleepwalking that was logged. And a history of doing things like carrying out things that require, you know, use of your hand-eye coordination. So it's like, how do you have hand-eye coordination when you're sleeping? It must be on autopilot. Do you know about the other cases? Like if the perpetrator was a male?
Oh yeah, that's a good question.
I think most of them. I think most of them were.
Yeah, because only a man is stupid enough.
Has a black guy ever gotten off on sleepwalking? That's the question I want to know.
Has who?
Has a black dude ever gotten off on sleepwalking?
I would say no, but I would guess no.
Look,
I wonder if a woman has even attempted to ever use that as an excuse.
Wait.
So here's a top seven.
Okay.
Spain versus Commonwealth.
A man.
You want to read it?
Okay, so Fane versus Commonwealth was in the 1870s, another old ass case. involved a man who fell asleep in the lobby of a Kentucky hotel. When a porter shook him to try to rouse him, the man drew a gun and shot the porter 3 times.
Okay, well that I believe.
Well, so he was like do you think that he just, but do you think that he...
He was guilty though. He was found guilty of manslaughter.
Yeah, he's found... Well, he should be found guilty of manslaughter either way on that. That's like, if you're driving drunk, you don't mean to kill someone, but you kill someone, you know?
Right.
You shouldn't be sleeping in the lobby if you're going to wake up and shoot some dude.
Yeah, one, don't get, like, sleep in a bedroom with a bed in it. And then two, it's like he's sleeping with his hand clutched around his gun. How did he, like, there had to have been at least 2 seconds where he knew somebody's shaking me and my gun's in my pocket.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, these are all crazy. All right. Yeah. Let me just.
I want to hear a woman's case because I bet that's legit sleepwalking if it is.
No, let me just look at all the names real quick. No, these are look like all the wait Regina. No, that's the no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're all dudes.
Yeah.
A Texas man testified in the 1920s that he and his mistress were preparing for bed when he became alarmed about an enemy who had made a threat against him. Fearing a secret attack, he went into bed with a pistol under his pillow. Later, roused by a noise, he jumped up and fired shots. When he found himself and got reconciled, he lit a lamp. His girlfriend was dead at the foot of the bed. Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
This is like I wonder...
This are there is one, modern cases of this?
Here we go. In 1997, Scott Fallader, a devout Mormon, stabbed his wife 44 times with a hunting knife. He then dragged her into a backyard pool and held her head underwater. The drowning called police. Fallader, who had no apparent motive, tried to mount a sleepwalking defense. He said he had a history of sleepwalking, was sleep deprived, and was unconscious at the time of attack.
Yet Falader had tried to conceal evidence. Police found the knife, bloody clothes, boots, gloves, undergarments stuffed in a Tupperware container hidden in his car.
Wow.
Also,
Throw it out, dude.
Also, between the stabbing and the drowning, the neighbor witnessed Falader motion for his dog to lie down, a possible sign of consciousness. A jury found Falader guilty of first-degree murder in 1999.
What was the sign of consciousness? That he laid down?
No, that he told his dog to lay down.
Oh.
Like, yeah. The neighbor witnessed him say, lay down, boy.
Well, he was found guilty.
Oh, there's even one in the 2000s, too.
Ooh, what's that one?
Also, it's always someone killing their lover, too. Do you notice that?
Yeah, it's always a man killing somebody he had sex with. That to me says, you're not dreaming, piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Wrights killed his lover, Eva Weinfurtner, a married woman in her 40s, during what was supposed to be a romantic Catalina Island getaway in 2001. He smashed her head with a flower pot, leaving shards in her scalp, dislocating her arm, punctured her with a plastic fork, fractured her wrist jaw. Ugh.
Boy, oh boy.
Bones, skull.
That's their name. Wow.
And then, I don't even want to continue reading it, but it was a disgusting murder. Right? So Wrights.
Told, no way that motherfucker was dreaming.
Wrights told police that he had no recollection of the attack, though through flashbacks, he recalled believing that he was in a scuffle with a male intruder. Wrights, who had worked as a commercial fisherman, told police that the knife wounds on her neck were ideally identical to those that fishermen would use to kill sharks. At trial, his parents testified he had been a sleepwalker since childhood. The jurors didn't buy it. They convicted Wrights of first-degree murder in 2004.
Yeah, so lately
they've gotten away with it back in the day, but not lately, it looks like.
Yeah, finally coming around. The aliens are upstairs going, nice, guys, you're finally getting it.
Yeah, imagine anyone could be like, oh, I'm asleep.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I wonder too if a guy's ever like, I bet you other than murder, there's probably other things that a guy blames sleepwalking on.
Mm-hmm.
Just stupid shit.
That's true. He'll be like, sorry, I cheated on you while I was sleepwalking.
I was sleepwalking and then, you know.
Although Mike Birbiglia, I saw his show Sleepwalk with Me, and he got creative when he was sleepwalking. That was why his I forget what exactly he got.
I've always meant to see that, but I never. That's like one of those things I've been meaning to watch.
He broke a window in a hotel. Like he ran out of it and jumped off the second story window of a hotel while he was sleeping. Yeah.
That's scary.
So, I mean, you can be a little cray cray. So, but he didn't try to kill anybody, but no one was around. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to sleep in a special sleeping bag with mittens on so he doesn't undo it in his sleep.
Wow.
So
does his wife basically is his caretaker. He's like,
yeah, he has his,
good
yeah,
morning, baby.
Yeah, because I saw his Broadway show, his one Broadway show that was recent. And yeah, his wife had to zip him up every night and they slept in separate bedrooms.
Oh my gosh. Wow. She should win like Woman of the Year.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow, that's scary.
She needs awards and recognition.
Yes, she does. I mean, she got some good recognition in his show, but I don't know if that was enough for her. But
that's crazy.
Yeah. I never heard of a sleep disorder that severe and that active.
Hmm. Yeah, there's so many sleep disorders. There's also like sleep apnea and there's like, what else? Where you can't fall asleep.
Yeah, insomnia.
Yeah, that's the word. So there's like so many different theories behind different areas of sleep, but that's like, it would take us a long time to explore everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad I never slept walk that much to where I had to be tied up in a bag.
Yeah.
At night.
That's a little extreme.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be comfortable.
Oh, man. Do you want to hear another really crazy story? This is going to be the Josh's Psycho episode.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry.
I got accused of sleepwalking once, and I've been trying to make sense of it to this day.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
All right. Check this out. So at that same creep, I mean, at the
the place in Park Slope that I lived, the same place I saw ghosts and stuff, and was
with drunk. The roommate who was African.
Yeah, but he was really cool, by the way. I always got along with him, and like I'm still friendly with him if I see him and stuff. But like this is a super embarrassing story right now I'm about to tell. So one day I'm just sitting on the couch playing video games, and he just comes home and he's like all freaked out and shit. And he's like, what was the deal with you last night? And I was like, what? And like so basically like at 3 a.m, he said, I walked into his room and like just started like scratching at the window.
Oh my God.
And just started like, and then at some point, like I sat on his bed for a second and then I got up and like just went back in my room and went to bed. So that's what he says I did. What? And here's the most embarrassing part. He was in bed with like a chick.
And he didn't like push you out, like push you away.
Yeah, I would. I'm like, thank God for not killing me. If son had done that to me when I was in bed, I'd probably like.
Were your eyes open?
No, I mean, there's no way. I don't think that. I still to this day don't think that happened. Like, I just don't have any recollection of it. Or, like, they say that. I wonder if they saw a ghost. I think that's more likely. Like almost. Like or something.
Maybe, yeah. Why would you walk in there and then just scratch at the door like a
I felt like they saw a Josh-shaped ghost that night, because they at first he asked me if I was like drunk and stuff, and I had like an amazing night. I actually was out on a date with my college crush that night, and it was finally got to go out on a date. We didn't get super fucked up together. We did have some sake with like we had sushi and sake. But like I wasn't like drunk and shit. Like I don't understand. I've never slept walked in my life. So this is what I take from the story. Either A, that happened and that house is fucking haunted and I had to get out. Or B, he wanted me to leave. And that's like
he made it up.
And he wanted to just have a way, I don't know. Mm-hmm. An excuse.
Well, that's the case, then I do. He didn't take the $500 because you got it back. But that's very odd. Did you ever see, like hear anything like footsteps when he wasn't there, or like see something out of the corner of your eye in that apartment?
No, I've seen. This is gonna sound crazy too.
Try me.
No. Well, this has happened. Like it wasn't sleep paralysis, but one time I thought I saw an alien in the apartment. like a gray appeared once. Like, but I was like in between sleeping and not, so that could have easily been a dream. And I like yelled at it and it disappeared.
Huh. Well, that usually doesn't happen in dreams. When you yell at something, it doesn't disappear. Like usually it.
I've had a lot of weird shit only in that apartment. I don't have this shit happen now.
What else happened?
Bushwick for a long time and it never happened to me. Nothing like it. So I had that happen. I've had like sleep paralysis with like weird figures that are like scary and shit.
Okay, yeah, that apartment was haunted, probably.
Like regular, like it seemed kind of haunted. Like, but then like that whole story, like I don't think that I hope I didn't physically go in there. I hope it was some kind of aberration that they saw.
Yeah, I mean, when you woke up, did anything feel normal, out of place?
Yeah, I went along with my day. I didn't know until like the next evening, like after my open mic.
What you were wearing?
Huh?
Did he say if you were in your PJs or like, were you dressed?
Oh yeah, that's a good point. I don't remember if I asked that, but I assumed that I was just in my
PJs. Right.
Imagine.
But I was so embarrassed at the story either way that I did move out, and that's how I moved in with Ray DeVito in Astoria, because Ray wanted someone for like.
And I love Ray. Oh wow.
And I was like, you know what? Ray, like it was just simultaneously or right when that happened, Ray like had a super cheap room and it was like literally three times the size of my room there.
Oh, wow.
And it was in Astoria. So I was like, you know what? I'll live with a comic and it'll be good to live with another comedian. And then I'll always be on my shit. So that was in the end.
Nothing happened. At the new apartment?
Yeah, no, I've never had any kind of thing
when
happen.
When you first walked into that old apartment that you felt all the stuff, did you feel a weird sense?
No, it was like, I thought it was really nice, actually, because he had it all decorated with like this cool like African stuff.
And, yeah.
And like, And no, it was like super nice. I thought I was getting a deal. Like it was like only $800 a month right off the park in Park Slope. And room, this is like also like 8 years ago, probably. So my room was like really small, could only like basically fit a twin and a dresser.
So that
was also why it was, but like he was super cool. Like we smoked weed all the time together back in the day. And like he would make really good like stews, like African stews. And whenever he'd have like a girl over, I'd always get to get the leftovers and vice versa. Ooh, when I have a girl over, he got our leftovers. Yeah. So we always cook for each other.
I wonder if you Googled the address of that old apartment and if you could find like, and like the address of the old apartment plus like crime or murder, if anything happened.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You should call.
I'm way into ghosts.
Yeah. Oh, really? Remember?
Yeah, I'm just fascinated by them.
The lady from that show, the one that was a realtor and could tell the.
Oh, from Nathan For You.
You should call her.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I heard about that.
She's all the way in Cali. That'd be a big job for her.
I wonder if there's people like that in New York.
Oh, there have to be because I've been very haunted.
Like, well, you don't need to get a realtor. You could just get like one of those psychic. What's crazy psychic? We could get a bruja.
You should do that for an episode. Yeah, that'd be fun. You should channel ghosts in an episode. God, I love. I'm so obsessed.
I'd be afraid of that, because once you channel them in, then that gateway might be open.
I would think if you could channel them in, you could tell them to get the fuck out. But who knows? I don't know how it works.
But if you don't have full control over like the realm gates, then you could really fuck shit up.
So. True.
Yeah, I don't feel like
that's one thing. My having like a born again Christian mother, like she warned me about all that kind of spiritual realm shit.
Really?
We were shopping the other day, actually, at Target. Do you know they sell Ouija board blankets? Like blankets that are actually Ouija boards. That's scary.
Corinne has one because Corinne loves Ouija boards.
Really? She has a Ouija. I feel like that guarantees nightmares.
But it never really worked. I don't know.
Oh, you've tried it and it didn't work?
Yeah, but I was like, I don't know if I'm doing this right or what. But question for you, this is nothing to do with ghosts. What a born again Christian means, you weren't originally Christian, right? And then you discovered it and you got really into it.
Well, technically, I mean, that technically is what it is, but like my mom was Catholic. So a lot of them are Catholic. Exciting
incident to her born again Christianity.
Well, basically born again, that's what I call like an evangelical Christian, like someone who's like super into it, like who's like always studying the Bible, like they're into the Bible, like we're into comedy, like they're trying
like nerd out on it,
trying to get like third degree preacher, second, like we want to get a spot on BCC or whatever that, or CBC or whatever that. Like they all want to like understand the Bible in like the most nuanced philosophical way. Like they're like that, like how my dad's passionate with kung fu training, or like how I'm passionate with comedy, or like, so that's
so everyone in your family has a very specific interest.
Yeah, that's true.
That's great though, you know, you put all your energy into it and you get good at it and there you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that is funny. That is very specific.
Yeah, that's good. Y'all know what you want. So I'll move on to our next topic, and it's about Bishop Saint Augustine. He was also a theologist and philosopher, and he was seeking to live a morally perfect life, but he was worried about some of the actions he carried out in dreams. For somebody who devoted his life to celibacy, his sexual dreams of sex fornication worried him. In trying to solve the problem, Augustine appeals to the apparent experiential difference between waking and dreaming life. He draws a crucial distinction between happenings and actions. So he was trying to say he was having these dreams. And
wet dream and coming.
Huh?
Because if a guy doesn't have sex, they have like wet for a long time. They have get like wet dreams. So it's probably one of those.
Yeah. So he was feeling bad about this because he's not supposed to have sex, and he was trying to find.
Wait, what year is this again? This is like medieval times.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
before internet porn. Yeah.
And he was trying to distinguish between what you do in your real life and what you do in your dreams. If it's still bad if you do something in your dreams, he wasn't sure. So then he said, Augustine was not carrying out actions, but was rather undergoing an experience which happened to him without choice on his part. By effectively removing agency from dreaming, we cannot be responsible for what happens in our dreams. As a result, the notion of sin or moral responsibility cannot be applied to our dreams. So I wanted to ask you guys, what do you think? Should we be held responsible for what we dream, even if no action is committed? And do you think that what we dream affects how we live our waking life? Like maybe something you dream will affect something you do in the future. Is that possible?
I had a sex dream about a guy and then all of a sudden I was just attracted to him.
Oh yeah. I've had that too with women.
Like look at them a completely different way. And you're like, wait, oh, I like you now. That's weird. That's happened a bunch of times.
Yeah. It's like you connect in another dimension.
Yeah. Or you see them in a different light and you're like, I like that. Yeah.
And there's this theory that people say, but I don't know if it's, I'm pretty sure it's not true, but they say if you dream of someone, that means that they were thinking of you when they went to sleep. So if you have a crush and you dream of them, you could be like, oh yeah, my God, they were thinking of me.
That guy was probably thinking of you before he went to sleep and you had that sex dream. And then he was like, oh damn.
It works.
It works.
And that's fine. I'm fine with that. But I don't think you should be ever held morally responsible for what happens in your dream. That being said, I've never really analyzed the morality of what I do in my dreams. And I'm thinking about it and it's not, I'm usually a bystander. Like things happen to me in the dream and I don't really do much. I'm just at a place that's terrifying or I'm witnessing something that's terrifying, but there's not a lot of action that I take in my dreams.
I feel like certain dreams, like I have more control of, I feel like in older age, I have more control of my dreams and stuff. And I feel like I feel like not everyone has that though, and not everyone knows how to have that, or maybe it's an age thing too.
Well, my friend, control of your dreams.
Oh, what were you gonna?
Oh, sorry. My friend had lucid dreams, and she was really interested in it, so she purchased a book on lucid dreaming and how to control your dreams and how to meditate right before you sleep. I don't know exactly what the things were, but she did all the stuff that the book instructed her to. And she was able to actively have lucid dreams and like have fun with it. Like she would say, like, I was flying and it was so much fun. Like the memory was as if it really happened. I was like, that's fucking cool.
Yeah. So that's pretty dope. And I know that kind of stuff is possible. And like, you could channel that kind of power, but if you could channel that power, does it then become immoral to have like horrible dreams of you doing horrible things and stuff like that? Because then are you conditioning your brain to be kind of more psycho when you wake up?
No, because I think with like kink or BDSM, like if you like getting the shit choked out of you in sex, for example, I don't, you know, that doesn't mean you want to be walking down the street and have someone choke you out. So it's totally different. It's like living out a power dynamic. So I feel like a dream could be a good way to live out a power dynamic that you're not sure about, or just kind of test the waters. If anything, I think it's healthier to not be moral in your dreams so you can like figure out how being immoral feels to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder. I feel like I am aware sometimes that I'm dreaming and then I try to remind myself and then just go along with the dream because I want to see what happens next. Yeah. But then I always wake up. Yeah. But it's hard to say, is it bad to make immoral decisions in your dreams? I mean, obviously you're not affecting anyone, but
right.
Does that...
But how do you know you're not affecting anyone? We don't know if dreams are things happening in other realities. It's
other plane that affects other people. Yeah, who knows? I would say we don't affect anybody just because you have to, I have to pick to believe one. And that's the one I would pick to believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, of course. I mean, it's the most rational way of,
then I could just go on and do whatever and have fun.
Yeah you might as well, like, if you have controls of your dreams, you should like live it up. But like, I mean, I think when I say this, the only thing in the back of my head I'm thinking of, have you ever seen Westworld, Christina?
I saw the first couple episodes.
So I'm thinking about that guy with like the black hat who just tortures all those people. Like if you're that in your dream, that could be kind of fucked up though, if that's how what gets you off, you know? Like we're talking about immoral, you know?
Yeah. Like maybe that's who you want to be in real life, and then that's a gateway to being that.
Yeah, that was like more the point rather than like little sexual like immorality type
thing. Right, right.
Yeah, I think it depends what it is. Like if you're dreaming of killing a bunch of people, then probably there's something that you're thinking of when while you're awake that's causing that.
I mean, unless you have such like a moral a good stance and your moral high grounds in reality and have set that to a certain place and you've found out a way to channel that like sixth part of you so you only experience it in dreams and make that your outlet, you could even like do good for people and like do, and that's how you could like maybe rehabilitate criminals and stuff.
Ooh,
like that.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
What do you mean? Like,
well, I mean, we don't have this type of technology, so this is just science fiction that I'm spitting right here. But like, imagine if we had like some form of way of studying how to control dreams and using dreams as an outlet for like your criminal behavior.
Oh, okay. Well, you could do like meditation where someone guides you and you kind of like, you're kind of asleep, but kind of awake, and you sort of imagine things. But then at some point it just goes on off on its own. And then you wake up again and then you analyze everything that you saw. I've done that before and that's pretty cool. But maybe that could work with rehabilitating people that want to do crime. Maybe that.
Yeah, but who knows? It's like kind of like going, who knows, like all the, if like anything like where you're fucking with someone psychologically though, you're always walking the tight rope, and it's like it could be a slippery slope because you don't want to fuck someone up way more like trying this experimental like psychological right. dream technology on them. Then what if you turn them even worse?
You need like the modern lobotomy. Yeah.
All mental. Yeah. That would be scary. You don't want to end up having them be worse. Then how do you reverse it?
Yeah, then you're like, oh fuck it. We're just gonna have to kill this person. I'm sorry.
Oh my god. I'll move on our last topic. So a way to look at this where whether we're wondering if it's more if we should act moral or immoral in our dreams or if we should be doing what's right or wrong. There's another perspective called virtue ethics, and it emphasizes on the role of character. And this moral approach involves going beyond actions of right and wrong and instead considers an individual for his or her overall life, how to make it a good one and develop that individual's character. So virtue ethics takes the question, what is the right action, and turns it into the broader question, how should I live? The question, can we have immoral dreams, needs to be opened up to what can I get out of dreaming to help me acquire virtuousness? So they're trying to not look at it as like, oh, this is right, this is wrong, but how can this help my life?
Right.
As a dream. Tool. Mm-hmm. So quote by Blackmore says that dreams arguably put us in touch with our unconscious and indirectly tells us about our motives and habits in life. Studying our own dreams can be valuable in all sorts of ways. They can reveal our inner motivations and hope, help us face our fears, encourage growing awareness, and even be a source of creativity and insight. So I wanted to ask you guys, do you agree? Does studying and analyzing our dreams lead us towards a happy and fulfilling life? And is this something that everyone should be doing?
Well, I definitely think there was something you said in addition to like lead you to a fulfilling life. You were saying your inner workings or something about
your motives, dreams. Our motives and our habits in life.
Yeah. There's one nightmare that I will remember. I've remembered since I was a kid when I had it, and it was because my mom's bipolar, and she was super depressed when I was little, but it was always hot and cold. And this, I told my therapist that I'm working with now about this dream, and she was like, connected all these dots. But it was, I remember specifically it being black and white, and it was pouring rain and lightning, and I was in this giant brick castle, and there was a knock on the door, and it was my mom, but she was half my mom and half robot, and one of her arms had like wires coming out and it was sparking. And I was telling my therapist, I was like, I didn't want to let her in, but I had to. And she was like, and that's your relationship with your mother. You needed her for your survival as a child. So you had to adapt and figure out your survival strategies in order for you to get what you needed as a kid. And that meant blocking certain things out that she did that now I'm dealing with as an adult. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting. So I think dreams can definitely, I did one dream meditation. I'm working with this woman who's doing this spiritual coaching program. She's it's a beta program. So she's like, if you want to do it for free, I just need people to help me figure out what this program should be. And she gave me a dream meditation about letting go. And the meditation, I fell asleep. And the dream that I had was so vivid. I was in my childhood home and the floor was covered in dog shit. And my parents' dog was there and my dog, Kevin, was there. And they were just shitting and shitting and shitting all over the floor. So the floor was covered in dog shit and rats. And I was going in every room and it was just dog shit and rats. And I told my therapist that and she was like, well, yeah, that's what it was like as a kid. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Wow. But like, they are these metaphors for what happened to you, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Especially if you keep having similar dreams over and over, then maybe like your unconscious is trying to tell you something and that's something that you should work on if it's still stuck in there. So I think I've had several, I can't remember right now, but yeah, I've definitely had several dreams that I've
recurring
later and I'm like, that could be showing me something that I'm not paying attention to.
Yeah. It's also weird too. Like when you dream, like I have a dream journal. It's just a part of my phone. It's a note section on my phone, but it's weird too, how you'll wake up from a dream and you'll remember every detail. And then like 10 minutes later, you forget the dream. Like you just, the dream's gone after that.
I think that's super interesting too.
Yeah. Like, why is that?
And sometimes depending on how like clear headed you are, type of stuff that like, I think depending on how clear headed you are when you go to sleep, like if you're like, yeah, sober, you remember your dreams better than if you're going to sleep like drunk and high and stuff.
I go to sleep high most nights, but then
you remember all your dreams?
Huh?
You remember all your dreams even when you're high?
Lately something weird happened where all of a sudden I'm dreaming again, because I do like a sober January. I call it Feel Your Feelings January, and I don't smoke weed or drink. And I last January I did that and I had wild dreams. When you stop smoking weed, woo! Crazy, yeah, dreams.
They come back, right? I think that's just because your short-term memory is more strong.
Maybe. Oh, maybe. And then I remember the dream. But yeah. I remember, like, I would wake up feeling like I just ran away from a bad guy that was trying to murder. Like, I would wake up with active anxiety in my stomach and like, what the fuck? Like, it was weird.
I wonder if it's also because, like, it's an extreme dream because you haven't really, like, remembered a dream in a long time.
Maybe, but I smoke weed now. Like I pretty much smoke every evening. And yeah. I dream like that night I had the dream of being in my childhood home with the poop and the rats. I went to bed stoned.
Oh really?
I still remember.
I don't remember dreams that I'm stoned.
Really? I still do. I don't know. I think
it depends. Like you definitely can, because I did this meditation thing and then all of a sudden now I'm remembering my dreams when I wake up.
Oh wow. I wonder what that means, remembering your dreams. If it means excuse me, that you're more like clear-headed or something like that, or that you're more one with yourself or at peace or something.
Maybe.
You think?
Have you ever had a recurring dream?
Yeah.
What is it?
I don't remember actually.
I've had
I have dreams that when I have them, I'm like, oh yeah, I've been here before, you know?
But sometimes I'll be stoned and I'll remember a dream I had when I was a kid.
Yeah, I remember certain childhood dreams to this day. Like I remember having like some, like a play date with like a ghost girl when I was like a really young kid.
Maybe that was actually happened.
I've always had this reoccurring dream of like the world ending and the government trying to kill me and like me running away. Like, I don't know. Something about the world ending usually.
Do you ever have like your dreams
happen? I don't know what that means.
Do you ever have like your dream happen in real life where something happens, you're like, I dreamt this?
Well, I'll get deja vu a lot and I'll be like, was that a dream? Or I'll be like, wait, we talked yesterday, or was that a dream? Like sometimes I'll confuse a memory. Is it a memory from a dream or a memory from what actually happened?
Yeah, or conversation. Sometimes I'll confuse with the dream. Yeah. Like, yeah. Didn't we talk about
it? I used to, when I my boyfriend of 7 years, I a lot of times I would wake up so mad at him for something he did in my dream. And I would be like, you can't, don't look at me. I know you didn't do anything, but you did.
That does happen. Yeah.
I'll get pissed. And it's always cheating or like just outright a dick to me, like just terrible behavior.
Shit, but I wonder if there's a reason why that was appearing in your dreams.
I don't know. But it got to the point where we would wake up and then he would look at me and see that I was mad. He goes, "What did I do in your dream?"
I was like, "That's funny."
And sometimes I wouldn't even remember what the hell he did, but I knew it was bad and I was still mad at him. I'm like,
"That's funny." Yeah, it could be your heart warning you or something like that of like what's to come. You know, and sometimes like I've had like during my breakups, kind of like making peace with my ex in my dream too.
Oh, that's a nice one.
Have you ever had that? Then that's kind of like
peacemaking dream. No. Yeah.
I like making peace with my ex in the dream that I just wasn't thinking about her anymore.
Wow. Yeah. That's nice. Mm.
I do have dreams of like people I've seen in the past, but then there's also a bunch of like strangers sometimes. So that's also weird. I don't know.
I always wonder like, I know this a very specific person was in my dreams, but I never met them before. But that could be like you met them in another life or you're about to meet them.
Yeah. That's also weird.
Yeah. Dreams are crazy. Good topic for a podcast.
I did dream that I was going to be in a College Humor video. Like a few months before I was in my first College Humor video as like a kid in college.
Oh, that's fun.
Is that crazy? Then I started like believing in all my dreams like and stuff and getting
you were
all
psychic.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, this episode is a good reminder for me of like next time when I go to sleep tonight, I want to like I've been meditating every night because quarantine, so it got me into this habit, but I want to see if I can meditate in a way that tell me what I need to see or hear in my dreams tonight. Like, I want to just see if that
that's
works.
That's great. You I think that's great. That. I want to try to figure out like what tomorrow's Powerball numbers are going to be in my dream.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I wonder
one.
If that's possible. Like, if you have really strong meditative skills.
Try it and then have a notebook and a pen next to your bed. And the second you wake up, just write down however many numbers the Powerball is, write down that many numbers, whatever comes to you, and then see.
Yeah, I'm sure
that'd
some
be cool.
People
that'd be
do
worth
that.
The $2, I think.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, I know you gotta go. So we could wrap everything up. If you want to give a final point and plug anything you want to plug, you could go ahead.
My final point is aliens are real, so are ghosts. This is all a dream. Nothing, you know, everything's fake and real at the same time. So, you know, we all gotta deal with that. For plugs, I have a podcast called Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast, available on the Luminary app. And I have my own solo podcast called The Voices in Our Heads that I go through all these self-help books that have changed my life, but I make it funny. And, follow me on social media. It's at Christina Hutch, KRYSTYNA Hutch.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Oh yeah. Thank you for coming. And also you can follow our podcast, feel free at BWT Podcast on Instagram. And you can follow me at Gosh Carter. That's GOSHCARTER on Instagram and Twitter. And
you can follow me at Miss Nyancy, MSNAYANCI.
And feel free to reach out with us at hashtag ButWhyThoughPod. If you want to say anything, we'll check it every week and we'll write back to you guys. Thanks so much, everyone.
See ya.